Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I think he sees the game so much better. Obviously, since he's older, he'll see it a lot better, but he can see stunts at the line. He knows when he can take off. He knows where the line of scrimmage is, when to dump the ball off. He knows what to do to win the game. He's not really looking for stats. He's looking to win the ball game, and that's very rare as a quarterback, and that's a winning formula.
We want to go in and score as many points as possible. I'm not going to like we don't want to score, but in certain situations where we might have pressed the issue and try to force something to make something happen, knowing that our defense can get stops and that we can punt and we can get the ball back in a better type of position on the field, it speaks to the entire team, and I think that's something that I've kind of evolved throughout my career.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's exciting!
Todd Bowles, he is excited, and he's got the chance on Monday Night Football for that defense to go against Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and a host of what seems like ever revolving door of different weapons for Patrick Mahomes. And I like what Patrick has to say. He's been raving about the defense now going back to long before their most recent Super Bowl win. And here they are at 7-0, and he continues to tell us that they're not yet playing their best offensive football. And that's why the defense has been so critical. Of course, it does take some pressure off. And so, you've got different guys next to him almost every week between injuries and just guys who are on and off the field. They're bringing in new people to try to fill out the roster, fill out the holes with the Kansas City Chiefs. And yet still, they're the only team that has not absorbed a loss. Will that happen at Arrowhead Stadium on this Monday night? Well, if it doesn't happen, if they lose their first game, you've got both the Chargers and the Broncos who are breathing down their necks, believe it or not, in the West. So we'll talk about the West more this hour. We'll get to that Chargers-Browns game as well as Broncos-Ravens. So those are two games that we haven't hit yet, saving it for you here this final hour of the show. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. I hope it was a great weekend. First weekend in November, which is crazy. A lot of people voting. I've heard 75 million people have already cast their vote in the upcoming elections. It was funny. We were watching football and I was just getting started with my notes on Sunday. Guess it would have been early afternoon in my New Jersey neighborhood, and there's a knock on the door. And even before there was a knock on the door, our dog started going nuts. So Daisy was letting us know that there was someone coming up the walk. And so I don't know what I was doing, notes, I guess, like I said, watching football, getting kind of organized for the day. And my husband went to the door. I felt kind of bad because the lady was from, well, she was from the town, and she was trying to explain what she was going to do for the town running for the local council. And I don't know why, but my husband just said, oh, we already voted, which we did. Thanks, though. Good luck. We already voted. There's no chance for us to change our votes now. So sorry about that.
Did her a favor.
Right, I guess. Not wasting her pitch.
Yeah.
There on our front steps.
She has to pitch to about 400 other houses.
Right.
Might as well take the whole time you can.
Good point. So, yeah, I'm actually kind of glad we already voted. And we did wait in about a 90-minute line, but we got it done. And we'll see whether or not the lines are even longer on Election Day, which is tomorrow. It's almost over. It's tomorrow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. We've got the Monday MVP poll now available for you. So you can check it out on our page and then also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. That poll is up. And yeah, we've got four great options. We'll go through them this hour, but two coming from the AFC North. It was a fairly good day, except for Cleveland. I don't know, though, if anyone's going to manage to beat Saquon Barkley after his backward butt bounce. Barkley's backward butt bounce. On the bounce for Barkley backward with his butt. We'll get to it coming up. It's been a lot of fun to hear from you. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about. Again, online at A-Law Radio. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. Let's dive into Sunday Night Football a little bit. This was a game that the Minnesota Vikings desperately needed. But as it started out in the first half, it kind of looked like they were headed toward a third consecutive loss, falling further behind in the NFC North. There's an interception on the opening drive in the end zone. Then there's two missed field goals. There's also a fumble forced by Indianapolis and Grover Stewart after a sack. Kenny Moore picks up the ball and rumbles to a touchdown. And honestly, that was it for the first half. When it came to scoring, it was just 7-0 at the break. But the third quarter starts with an extended drive for Minnesota, and Sam Darnold settles in. He's got a lot of guys around him, from Jordan Addison to Jalen Naylor, and every single time he needs to move the chains or needs a completion, some type of play, whether he's in trouble or he's not, and they're just looking for a spark, it's almost always Justin Jefferson. So yeah, a 41-yard completion early in the third quarter that put them in the end zone, or the red zone, excuse me, and then Jalen Naylor put them in the end zone. And there were just a lot of chunk plays in the second half for Sam Darnold. Ends up with another opportunity, 2 minutes to go. Why not? Let's continue to exploit the rhythm.
Second and 11 from the Colts 14. Jones the single set. Addison in motion to the right. Play action from under center. Darnold to the end zone. Touchdown! Josh Oliver with a touchdown to stretch the lead to 2010. Roberto Sanchez, their punter, to attempt the onside kick, trailing by 8 with 28 seconds to go. Sanchez takes 3 steps back to his left. Now 2 steps forward as he lines up with the 35. Onside kick with a very high bounce. And up to bring it in is...
it's JJ.
Justin Jefferson. He's JJ. And the Minnesota Vikings will improve to 6-2.
That's Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. This was a great performance from the defense for the Vikings, more like what we saw at the beginning of the season. And then they really didn't allow, in not allowing the Colts really a lot of room to breathe, there was a huge possession gap, if you will. 14 minutes extra with the football for the Vikings. So even after a slow start, they really didn't allow the Colts to do much. And it felt like once they got in front, that there wasn't a whole lot of potential for the Colts to rally. Even though Joe Flacco's starting, and according to Shane Steichen, he will remain the starter despite a very stagnant performance on Sunday night. So Indy never reaches the red zone. No offensive touchdowns. That Minnesota defense had 3 sacks of Flacco and only allowed 227 offensive yards. So yeah, it took a little while for Sam Darnold and the offense to find that rhythm, but he ultimately ends up 28 of 34, has just under 300 yards, 3 touchdowns all in the second half, but also 3 turnovers.
Great team win. You know, obviously we would have liked to be better in the first half. Can't turn the ball over the way I did today, first and foremost, but just a resilient group.
There was a lot of things that we really wanted to emphasize, starting with our defense. I thought they were really the backbone, not only forcing 2 turnovers with Murph and Harry, but just the way they were able to answer the bell.
So now you've got the Vikings, who've ended that little mini skid, and they're sitting at 6-2. This NFC North continues to get better and better. And what did Ron Rivera tell us about a week and a half ago? These guys have barely started playing each other. There's still so many matchups within the division. In fact, the Bears haven't played anyone in the North yet. They lose to the Cardinals on Sunday afternoon, so they fall into 4-4. But the Lions and Packers, we're going to talk about here in a second. The Vikings get back on track. They are 6-2. And remember, the Lions and Packers each started the day with 6 wins apiece, heading into a rainy, messy, murky, misty, windy, that didn't really start with an M, but it fits as well, at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. But despite all of that, Jordan Love is playing in this game. Green Bay looking aggressive early on. That shouldn't surprise you if you know Matt LaFleur or Dan Campbell, actually. You should have been expecting a bunch of fourth down snaps. And so Green Bay is able to get one early on kind of a creative trick play to Tucker Kraft, a direct snap. He gets the first down on the opening drive. Lambeau's going crazy, but they have to settle for a field goal. Well, again, this is what Detroit's going to do, too. They're going to be aggressive. And a 13-play drive is the answer for the Lions there in that first quarter. It includes a fourth down and goal, because why not for Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and the Lions?
So here we go. Fourth and goal for the Lions from just inside the Green Bay 3. Goff's got it back, looking, throwing, left side. Once on the yes. Goff makes the grab. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, what a throw that time by Jared Goff. Amon Ross spinning and making the catch, getting 2 feet down, and the Lions take the lead. The Dan Campbell gamble pays off.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. And something that I loved about this is that Amon Ra just goes where he wants. I mean, he knows what to do. He and Jared Goff have a great connection, but he starts out in motion on the right side. There's a play is designed for him to be the motion guy from right to left. And then he kind of finds his way into the end zone. He first cuts in, then he goes out. And Jared Goff just knows where to look for him when he's ready, when Amon Ra's ready and he's open. And Goff has got time, of course, behind the offensive line. So this was a really sweet moment for Amon Ra. But we've seen the versatility of the number one receiver for Jared Goff. And yeah, he raves about that connection always with St. Brown.
He's the friendliest target I've ever thrown to. And I'm lucky to play with him. And, you know, I hope to play with him for quite some time. And he's a hard worker. He does everything right. I love him. He's great. Yeah, we've worked on that in the past, and something we thought could be good this week. And I thought at the end of the day, it was just me and him making a play. Guy covered it actually pretty well, and just put it on his back shoulder. He made a great catch, and his celebration was pretty good too.
Yeah, did you see the celebration? This was actually a lot of fun. So it was perfectly executed, despite the rain and the nasty conditions. And so after Amon Ra turns in and then looks out again, the ball is right there waiting for him. He spins to be able to haul it in, make sure that everything's in bounds. And then when the touchdown is confirmed, he ends up doing a headstand. Now, it's not like the type that you might see from a gymnast where they stay up for a long period of time. It's actually more like he goes up, does a headstand, and then like a bowling pin, he falls over. But really impressive that he's able to get up like that on his helmet, which actually maybe kind of gives him a soft place to land. Yeah, he must have been practicing that. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. So it's a 7-3 lead for the Lions early in the second quarter. And then mid-second, there's this moment that they face some adversity and have to rally from. Brian Branch gets ejected from the game, and it comes from on high. He has a helmet-to-helmet hit on Bo Melton. It definitely was a flag. But according to the officials and according to what we heard on the broadcast, so this was a Fox broadcast with Dean Blandino, who used to be head of officials, of course, used to be everybody's favorite punchline when they were ripping officials. So he's in the booth along with Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. And what he heard from New York, and Dan Campbell echoes this, it came from New York. What Dean heard from New York is that the officials or the officiating crew, the Brain Trust in New York, felt like Brian had enough opportunity, so ample time to be able to alter his hit. So he wasn't leading with his helmet, instead was maybe leading with his shoulder or kind of peeling out, whatever it was. At the play, I know it looks bang bang, but they felt like Brian Branch had an opportunity to not go for the helmet to helmet. It wasn't one of those plays where Melton lowered his head and was in, you know, was already in the line, or then dropped his head, was in the line of the defender coming in. So it was a bit of a moment that the Lions had to absorb, and Branch hated it. He got another flag for whatever he gestured as he's walking off the field. Now, Green Bay missed the field goal, but still they're without Brian Branch the rest of the way. However, the defense for the Lions comes up with a big play that turns into, I think, the catalyst for the second half, but really the turning point of this game, where Jordan Love is got the Packers inside the red zone and just makes a bonehead choice.
Second down and two, Green Bay, from their own 38. Love takes the shotgun snap. Lions bring a late blitz. Love back, looking, being chased. Love throw. Picked off by the Lions. Kirby Joseph, left side. He's going to go, baby. Count it down. Five, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, how big is that? How big is that?
Oh, it's big. It's big. Again, Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Yeah, that really was a gut punch for the Packers heading right into the halftime locker room. The pick six by Kirby Joseph, and Love just tries to flip it over the top of the defense and didn't flip it far enough, and just kind of lazy with the football, lazy with that pass. Detroit is heavy on Jahmyr Gibbs to open up the second half. He caps the drive with a 15-yard touchdown run right up the middle. The defense is just tough and physical. We know they take after Dan Campbell. So stuffing Josh Jacobs and Green Bay on a 4th-and-1 in the red zone. And that really is the undoing for the Packers, going 1 of 4 in the red area and 10 different penalty flags. Not all of them in the red area, but just too many mistakes. You cannot do that against a team like Detroit that will make you pay and that can beat you a variety of ways. And according to Dan Campbell, regardless of weather,
I'm not shocked one bit that we came out of here and played pretty good football out in the elements. That we're built for this, man. And it doesn't matter. And just because we play indoors, it doesn't matter. I mean, we can play anywhere. We can play in the snow. We can play in the rain. We can play in the mud. That's just us. And we're built to win.
It's so true. And the more I see of them, the more I believe that this is not just a flash in the pan, if you will. This is a Lions team that's built to last. And because of the foundation, because of the identity, because Dan Campbell and, of course, the front office have been able to pull in guys that they feel like fit. And I know they're missing a couple of key pieces on defense, including Aiden Hutchinson. I actually saw a commercial, you probably saw it too, a commercial with him during the game. And just that twinge of, no, he's not supposed to be doing a fake yoga class. He's supposed to be out there on the field with the Lions. And I'm sure it's really hard for him. But yeah, Dan Campbell says the Lions are built to win. And that's the point. They're built to win from the ground up. And he really sets the tone. We did a YouTube short, kind of a quick version of Ask Amy Anything last week. And producer Pete asked me which coach in the NFL I would like to play for. Dan Campbell was my answer. You can check out the video. I remember one particular moment from Campbell. I guess it was last season that I really love. That just kind of sealed the deal for me. So you can check that out on our YouTube channel. And the post is also up on both of our social media sites. But he really does inspire guys because he's like them, if you will. Sure, he's the boss, but this is who he is. He's asking them to follow him, and he's the same guy. He's that authentic when it comes to how he wants to them to play and his commitment to relationships and to building this from the ground up. Detroit rushes for 124 yards. They don't turn the ball over. Meanwhile, for Jordan Love and the Packers, even though he's out there, a couple of gimpy moments for him. It's tough because you just can't make those kind of mistakes. Forget the weather conditions. This is your own field. You can't make those kind of mistakes against a tough division opponent.
It's definitely very disappointing. You know, those are two games that, you know, we did not play our best at all. So, you know, too many mistakes. And like I said, just didn't play our best when in these games that we need to be able to go out there and execute at a high level and play our best ball. So it's definitely very disappointing. But two guys, two teams that we'll see again this season.
grouping both the Vikings and Lions losses together. You hear that answer from Jordan Love as the Pack is now 0-2 inside the division. Meanwhile, Campbell and the Lions are 2-0 in the North. And another terrific game for Goff. He completed his first 11 passes, but not really a lot of deep stuff. That's the interesting part. They've won their last two games. Would they score 51 against the Titans? They've won their last two games, and they've done it in a way that maximizes their possessions and maximizes their yardage. It's not gaudy. It's not flashy most of the time. I mean, Amon-Ra certainly is. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is terrific. But they're not passing for a ton of yardage. It kind of mirrors what's happening in the NFL as a whole. So Lions get the double-figure win, their third win in a row at Lambeau Field. They are sitting at 7-1, of course, have tied, once again, the Chiefs for the most wins in the NFL. Commanders also have 7 wins, and the Bills have 7 wins. We'll see if the Chiefs can take that step forward and get to 8-0 on Monday Night Football. All right, take our poll for Monday MVP at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Coming up, mentioned the Patriots. They lost to the Titans in overtime, but man, I love what we're seeing from Ramondre Stevenson and Drake May too. Though rookies are a wild ride, they give it and they take it away. Sure, every game there's throws or decisions that he makes that they want to kind of rein in, help him to be smarter and to understand what he's seeing and to make better choices the next time. It's certainly a learning process, but he's got all the tools. So Patriots Titans go into OT, and how about the Ravens getting back on track as well? So we'll talk about Ravens, Broncos, Chargers, Browns. We got to get inside that AFC North as the Steelers have the bye. Whew, there's a lot to do always on a Monday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know what's crazy is there are a handful of teams in the NFL that share the worst record, which means that we're not at this point in the season or really over the next few weeks going to have any clear-cut leader for the number one overall draft pick. There are a lot of different teams in contention. Patriots and Titans being two of those. New England on the road at Nashville, and after a rough first half, we started to see more of that Patriots run game, and really the ball control too, which is the best way for them to win right now. Going 70 yards in 7.5 minutes. They get 7 plays in the red zone. But finally, Ramondre Stevenson is able to rush in for a 10-7 lead over the Titans. Now, Drake May, as I say, still a wild ride. Sometimes it's dazzling. Sometimes it's a little bit dopey or even dumb, because that's what rookies do. They make dumb choices. He gets sacked. He fumbles. And Tennessee then uses the short field for the go-ahead touchdown. So they're kind of jostling big time for what is a very valuable win for each of these teams. In the final minute and 45 seconds, New England is using the no huddle to move.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The ball, shotgun, no huddle. They get into the 5-yard line. Honestly, the best place for the ball to be right now for New England is in the hands of their bell cow.
The snap to May, back 2 steps, looks to the end zone. He pumps, he backs up, he slides left. He looks in the left corner. Now he rolls to his right. He pulls up in the middle of the field. Drake May eludes a defender, running to his left, looking to the end zone, trying to keep the play alive. Falling down, he throws to the end zone. It's caught!
He's got it!
Touchdown!
He's got
Ramondre
it!
Stevenson!
Oh, my God, Drake May!
That's the call on Patriots Radio. Yeah, here's the thing. We had talked about this with Jaden Daniels when he had all this time to extend and evade and let the play evolve before his Hail Mary to Noah Brown. Remember, that was the finish of the game against the Bears. Well, if that was 13 seconds of Jaden Daniels with the ball in his hands, on this particular snap, Drake May has the ball for 10 seconds and they can't get to him. So they have a great offensive line protection on this particular snap. It's not been great all season, but the Patriots are able to give him room. He moves around, he sidesteps, he just kind of keeps on his toes, and then he's able to fire to Ramondre Stevenson, and that sends the game into overtime. Now, Tennessee, they're trying to do the same thing. They're just trying to methodically move the ball, keep it out of the hands of their opponents, right? That's their best defense. They take 7.5 minutes off the clock with Mason Rudolph. Remember, he's the one who's starting, and they get a field goal, excuse me. So it doesn't end the game because it's a field goal, which means they still have to go out there and play defense in order to preserve that win.
Hasty in the backfield with May. Play fake. May looking deep, throwing deep. Booty is there, but it's intercepted. Hooker came over to get it. Hooker came over to get it. Took a knee, and it's over. It's over.
You know, I thought we ran the ball in that overtime period. That was we imposed our will in that overtime period, which was awesome to see. Running the football down there and taking up almost the entire overtime and not giving them much to work with on the back end.
So they fall, they move to 2-6. Got to be careful of your verbs. Patriots fall to 2-7. Now, 2 wins is the least number. So all the teams that are at the basement of the NFL through this midway point, they've all got 2 wins. So every bad team has at least 2 wins. Titans desperately needed that one. They had 167 yards rushing, so that was huge. And Drake May was over 300 total yards, but unable to get this victory in OT.
Obviously disappointed in the outcome of the game. We had our chances. We always talk about it's not just one play. It's not the interception. It's not going for two. There are multiple plays that happen within a game that can change the tide of it. At the time, I felt like that was the right thing to do. It's easy to make a judgment one way or the other, but I thought that was the right thing to do at the time.
Okay, so when Gerard Mayo is talking about the particular play, I'm not exactly sure which one he's talking about, so that's my fault. He was talking about the loss there. But the larger point is for Gerard that it doesn't come down to one play, and I appreciate him validating us because we make that our house rule. No game ever comes down to one play, one snap, one moment, one call, one sequence. Nah, it's the entire thing. And in this one, the Patriots come up short. So at 2-7, they are tied for worst record in the NFL. And yeah, the Titans are right there. They just have had their bye. You know, a couple of other teams that are in that worst category, worst record category, both the Saints and the Panthers in the NFC South. And this is nutty considering we knew the Panthers were going to be bad. And the first time the Saints and Panthers met this season, it was an overwhelming win for Derek Carr and New Orleans. Remember, they started out the season 2-0. They hammered the Cowboys in Dallas. And now here they are locked in a battle with the Panthers, and it's Bryce Young starting again. So Andy Dalton had the accident. He's not been back on the field yet, though we'll see whether or not a change comes. But for these Panthers, at least you can tell they've made some progress. And of course, the Saints have regressed. So New Orleans leads most of the first half, just a couple of minutes in the second quarter where they're kind of battling. But that second quarter, fairly fateful for the Saints. Chris Olave gets sent to the hospital midway through the quarter as he's trying to catch a ball over the middle. It's one of those plays where the quarterback just hangs the receiver out to dry, trying to be careful where you place the ball, where you lead your receiver. I don't love the term, but I, of course, have seen it all over and heard it before, called a hospital ball, because it can send a guy to the hospital. And that's what happened with Chris Olave. He's already dealt with concussions. He ends up with a trip to the hospital for another concussion, though his brother was tweeting during the game that he was okay, that he was moving all of his limbs, and he was even standing up. I know Olave himself was on social media later, so that was good news, too. But in that moment, former Saints star receiver Mike Thomas unleashes a series of, I think these were Insta posts, though he later went on Twix as well. And he is ripping Derek Carr for the fact that he is setting Chris Olave up like this. But it gets much deeper than that. It turns into a, he backstabbed me. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He backstabbed me when I was there, and he tried to turn Olave and I against each other. The fact that he told, you know, he tried to make it out like I was jealous that I'm not wide receiver one. I mean, he goes on and on. I won't read you all of them, but he just unleashes a string of posts that are directed at Derek Carr. And yeah, unkind would be putting it kindly, actually. And so there's just a lot of things that Mike said that there was no way that the media was going to be able to ignore them. There's no way fans or even the Saints will be able to ignore them. And Derek Carr did have to respond following the game.
I have love for Mike, and when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years, and he's like the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know, but he's never called me during any of this. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions, just to try. And sometimes you can try as hard as you want, and it just doesn't work out, and that's okay. So I don't know why he feels any type of way. I didn't see it. I won't see it. Because I always ignore everything, you know, good and bad. I try to ignore everything. So it's unfortunate, especially coming from a player like that. But I wish him the best. I hope he gets on a team and does what he wants to do and loves it.
A couple of things that Mike said is Derek Carr needs his ass whooped. Also said that they fired all them coaches trying to cover his flaws up. He's still doing the same bleep. And then just, you know, dude's scary and panic and just throw the ball and get him the bleep out of here. And so Thomas unleashes and Carr responds, sort of taking the high road, but at least indicating that he has tried to reach out. Whether or not that's true, I have no idea. Only there was no way that during the game, as this is unfolding, that anybody is going to ignore it or be able to ignore it. And the larger point is then that Bryce Young and the Panthers, three times in this game, he has to lead three different drives when the Panthers are trailing, and three different times they're able to come from behind and take the lead against New Orleans.
Bryce under center. Chuba's the deep back. Snap. Give it to Chuba. Chuba inside the 10, 5, slides into the end zone. Touchdown Panthers. He spikes the ball, and Carolina's got a lead.
That's what you can add, you know, all you can ask for. Have a chance to go take the lead in a drive. That's what we play it for. That's what we work for. That's, especially as an offense, that's all we can ask for. Everyone had that mentality. We all lean on each other, play for each other, and, we're able to get it done.
Something that we talk about is just finding a way to finish, you know, and sometimes it takes the whole time. Just proud of the guys, really fired up and excited for that.
Congratulations to Dave Canales. They've been through the different quarterback changes. Andy Dalton might still be out there if not for the accident, though I'm glad he's okay. But Bryce Young gets another opportunity, and he's able to lead three different go-ahead drives for Carolina. It's Chuba Hubbard and his second rushing TD that puts them in the lead for good. The defense holds to end the New Orleans threat. And get this, the Panthers and the Saints have the same record of 2-7. That is now 7 losses in a row for Dennis Allen and New Orleans.
I'm hurting right now, hurting for our city, hurting for our
organization, hurting for those guys in that locker room. I know they put their heart and soul into it, and to keep coming out on the negative end is quite challenging.
Yeah, so I don't believe this coaching staff will survive this season because it's abysmal. I know they don't have a ton of weapons around Derek with Chris Olave off the field. Obviously, Alvin Kamara, though, he's their number one guy. And so it's just hard to see how they're able to turn this around. And then you've got people turning on you, even if he's not with the organization anymore. Not a good look for Mike Thomas, for Derek Carr. It's just a rough patch here. And so if Derek Carr is going to be a leader in that locker room, he's going to have to help them move forward. He did it with the Raiders after John Gruden left, and they ended up making the playoffs with an interim coach, right? And just all that turmoil that they faced a couple of years ago. So can he do it again? And just crazy to think that they are tied for the worst record in the NFL, along with teams like the Panthers and the Giants and the Raiders, who actually fired three offensive coaches after their loss on Sunday. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also on our Facebook page, vote for Monday MVP. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Minnesota.
Third and goal, Darnold shotgun, Jones by his side, Jefferson wide left, three receivers right, 7-7, 2:54 to go in the third quarter. Sam back to pass, straight drop, throws to the end zone, caught, touchdown! Jalen Naylor with his fourth touchdown this season.
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. The Vikings improved to 6-2. They beat the Colts 21-13. Sam Darnold threw for 290 yards, three touchdowns, and two interceptions. Elsewhere, in overtime, the Rams over the Seahawks 26-20. Lions topped the Packers 24-14. In overtime, Titans 20, Patriots 17. Cardinals over the Bears 29-9. The Eagles beat the Jaguars 28-23. Saquon Barkley rushed for 159 yards. And a touchdown. Commanders over the Giants 27-22. Chargers 27, Browns 10. The Bengals over the Raiders 41-24. Joe Burrow threw five touchdown passes. Ravens over the Broncos 41-10. Tyler Bass kicked a 61-yard field goal with 5 seconds to go. The Bills beat the Dolphins 30-27. Also, the Panthers over the Saints 23-22. The Falcons beat the Cowboys 27-21. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott left the game in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury. I have an MRI on Monday. Baseball, the Royals and pitcher Michael Wacha reportedly agree on a 3-year, $51 million deal that includes a fourth-year club option that can max out the contract to $72 million. NBA Mavericks over the Magic 108-85. Luka Doncic at 32 points. It was the Hawks over the Pelicans 126-111. The Pistons beat the Nets 106-92. NHL wins for the Oilers, Blackhawks, Wild, Canes, Rangers, Jets, and Bruins. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227.
Second down and two at the Denver 7-yard line. Ricard and Henry in the power eye formation. Give us to Henry up the middle. Bangs off a one blocker. Lunges forward. Touchdown Ravens! Derrick Henry in the end zone for a ninth straight week. First and goal Ravens at the Denver 6. Ricard in front of Henry in the power eye. Lamar under center. He'll give it to Henry. Left side, Henry with a hole. Steps over a tackler. He's in. Touchdown, Ravens.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Derrick Henry, he has found a new lease on life. honestly, how could you not with that Ravens offense? But what he's added is just a whole different element because he's such a bruising back and obviously an incredible health. So two more touchdowns on the ground for Derek. Those are his 100th and 101st of his career. And he really just wants to point to the offensive line, the guys who are setting the tone and blocking in front of them.
Like I said before, I give the credit to the guys who are blocking to make my job easier. And all I got to do is just make my reads, get north to south, and make the most out of a play. So credit to all the guys blocking. It was a great job and all their unselfishness.
Derek goes over 100 yards rushing again for these Ravens. That's nearly automatic now. Meanwhile, Lamar, who missed practice this week to what John Harbaugh called just a rest day, didn't really have a lot of time with the team in terms of prep on the field, has a perfect passer rating. 16 for 19, 280 yards through the air, three touchdowns, including a pair to Zay Flowers. Yeah, Baltimore's 4 of 6 in the red zone. They average better than 7 yards per play in this one. Against the Denver defense that was supposed to put up more resistance, really not a whole lot. 41 points for the Ravens again this week. And yeah, perfect Lamar Jackson.
That's just him. You know, God blessed him with the ability to make guys miss. You know, it's always been him. You know, going back to Broward County, back in youth football, he's always been that player. You know, and him catching a post pattern and making guys miss and getting extra yards for a touchdown, that's just him playing ball.
So Zay Flowers becoming a great partner through the air for Lamar Jackson, able to catch those passes that he's throwing up. But he's really throwing a perfect ball, and John Harbaugh can see it. He can see the growth with Lamar. Second year with Todd Monken as the OC.
I think it's his fourth perfect passer rating, and I think that's an NFL record. Is it? Tied for the NFL record. Okay. I'm betting on Lamar at some point to break it. But I thought he played great, but also the team around him. I mean, the pass protection, it's a really good pass rush team, a real aggressive defense, a really highly ranked defense. Our offense came to play as a group.
Dangerous with his arm, and I think he showed that today. You know, if you want to take away him running the ball, go over your head and throw it. And if, you know, he got to run it, he'll do that as well. So, you know, hats off to him, man. He's the engine to make this thing go. And, MB3.
High praise from both John Harbaugh and Derrick Henry, who finishes with MV3, which I love. Also, it would be Lamar's third NFL MVP if, in fact, he's able to go back-to-back. Broncos 1 of 5 on fourth down, so Sean Payton just going for it. 1 of 4 in the red zone, really not a whole lot for them in this game. And Bo Nix, an interception, 4 sacks. This was overwhelmingly on the side of the Ravens, who are now 6-3, so back on the winning track. Broncos still above 500, but Ravens trying to keep pace with an idle Steelers team in the AFC North. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It was a good day for the North. Every team winning except for the Browns. Home in Cleveland. Remember, it's Jameis Winston who's starting now. No more Deshaun Watson. And last week, Jameis had 3 touchdown passes. In this game, 3 interceptions, all of them coming in the second half. And really, the Chargers defense was able to shove him down on the playground and steal his lunch money. It was that bad. They sacked him 6 times. And L.A., sneaky enough, is tops in the league, allowing fewer than 13 points per game. And so what they're able to do defensively is probably underrated. So much of the attention goes to Justin Herbert. Even as everything around him has changed, J.K. Dobbins has turned into a great weapon for him.
New set of downs, 1st and 10 in the red zone. Herbert hands to Dobbins. Dobbins, foot in the ground. J.K. all day. Touchdown, Chargers. 16 yards. Herbert in the shotgun on a 2nd and goal. Palmer in motion right to left. Hand off to Dobbins. Dobbins bouncing to the left, to the 5, to the 3. Lunges into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. J.K. with his 2nd today.
before and after halftime. And that's Matt Smith on Chargers Radio. And I should have mentioned before on Ravens Radio, Jerry Sandusky. Apologize for that. So 85 yards for J.K. on the ground, a couple of touchdowns, and the Chargers have no trouble against the Browns, who also share that worst record in the NFL now at 2-7. So for Kevin Stefanski, it's been a lot of injuries, of course. It's not a solid option at quarterback, and we know what Jameis Winston is.
Yeah, I'm not thinking really big picture. I'm thinking about we need to play better, bottom line. You know, we own these, Darryl, offense, defense, special teams. We have to play better on all three sides of the ball. We got to coach better on all three sides of the ball, but we own it. It's all of us.
Just so proud of our team, the way they played today. Great, great team effort. There'll be a lot of guys to talk about, a lot of guys that, shined big time in this game. And it was a wonderful feeling of winning, wonderful victory for our side.
Yeah, so the Chargers actually moved to 5-3, Broncos 5-4. So right now, Chargers second place in the AFC West. And should the Chiefs slip a little, they have the Buccaneers tonight at Arrowhead, but should they slip or come back to the pack or not win one of these close games, there are a couple of teams there in the West who would be more than happy to pounce. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On our Facebook page, I've picked a particular GIF for this edition of Monday MVP. So you can find that at our page, and you'll maybe get it when you see it or not, but it's all right. It comes from the nether reaches of my brain. And then on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on mine at A Law Radio. And while you're there, find the Saquon Barkley moment that's going viral. If you haven't yet seen it, Saquon, he's one of our candidates for Monday MVP for good reason. Now, we've got a couple other guys in there as well, like Lamar, that perfect passer rating. But what exactly is that move called by Saquon? We're going Barkley's butt bounce. No, Barkley's backward butt bounce. Or Barkley's backward butt on the bounce. We'll work it out. Survive your Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.